what was absolutely essential. Production here has fallen too. And we've got to increase our production. Get out in the fields, and everyone has got to know the talk of the fields. We've got to know how many acres we have in cassava and how many acres we have in Eddowes. We have to know how many piglets there are over in the piggery. We have to know how many cattle we're preparing to get. We have to know how much milk it takes to produce milk, how much cheese for this entire family, how many bags of cassava for each meal. We need to know that. How many bags does it take? 8. How many bags of Eddowes? The same. 8. How many pounds of sugar a day? Man, 275 pounds of sugar a day. How many pounds of rice? Not now. Because of the shortage of our own field production, it's going to be double that. It's going to be 350 pounds of rice a day. That's a lot of rice. Too much rice to have anybody take it like we had today. Do we have any of those names? Took the rice and then did not eat it. We get you the best rice. We didn't get the cheapest rice. We could get it for 9 cents less a pound. We get you the best rice we can get. We'd get brown rice if it were available, but it's the same price. It's just not available. Our order's in for brown rice. But when we get you the best rice, we expect you to eat it if you take it. Because there's a few hundred more of our family back there in hell. Over there on hell side. And it's so easy to forget hell. You can look at the movies we had last night and think like, well, you can forget all the problems. But some of you remember every day and every hour when Jim Jones and People's Temple were being smeared and lied upon and cut down in every goddamn media all over the whole West Coast. Don't you forget that hell. It's easy to step over here in paradise and forget that. But that hell is still going on back there for hundreds of our people. And it's not right that anyone would waste while we're trying to conserve and bring our people to freedom. So we want to know those who betray. If it was unconscious today, tomorrow if you do it, if you waste food, it will be conscious. And we will consider it counter-revolutionary. If there are names of those that you have that you can bring to my attention, other than those who have already confessed it, the only way to avoid public humiliation, which is a good form of discipline. It's better than boxing. It's better than spanking. We'd rather compliment and humiliate so that we can grow than to get into physical violence with one another, wouldn't we? Because we remember the days when there were too many goddamn enemies out there that we had something against. Let's save our anger for them. Reminded me of someone here that broke up a fight. I was very touched. A lad here broke up a fight between two brothers. I don't know just where it is. I'll find it here. Larry Tupper. You want to praise him and give him an extra dessert slip for breaking up a fight. He stopped two brothers from fighting and get us tanks free and other kinds of reductions of price and communicate us to the far winds. And if anybody causes problems here when we have people come in like that, there'll be problems for you. The Minister of Public Works went back to Georgetown raving about what he saw here. Even they wrote it down in our book, and be sure that they always do. The first thing, when anyone comes in here, be sure if someone would not be present, some coordinator or secretary, you be sure that you remind the relief person that they sign our book, because they put down some very fascinating things. Permanent secretaries of government wrote down in clear, black and white, that this was a model community for everyone to emulate throughout the world. And we want to get a lot of that going, because we certainly have had a lot of damned enemies. Now, this happens to be a warm night, but normally a night like is not warm like tonight. It's usually much cooler, but it's sure much better than a sweltering heat that we were told that the papers said that we were living in a swamp in sweltering heat, and surrounded by savages and eaten up by mosquitoes. All the lies those sons of bitches told to try to keep our people from wanting to come on over here. They just want to keep us apart because they know when we're together, we're like a Black Panther. Peace. By the army that cannot know any defeat. And that's the only reason they've told all that bullshit. And we're glad for some of you that pursued on through and didn't listen to what bullshitters had to say, because I told you years ago, and in the last months I persisted to tell you, enjoy the good news because the shit's around the corner. I said they'll attack us because they can't keep from doing that. They have to do that because we are communist, we are Marxist, Leninist, socialist on the road to fulfilling communist goals, and they had to attack us. No other way. They had to call us bad, because if they didn't, we would have been able to sweep into the countrysides, up and down the West Coast. And even though we hadn't even begun to infiltrate, we were further on the road. Charles Gary said the other night, he had never seen in all of his life a movement so solidified, so strongly cohesive. He said the entire Communist Party USA cannot compare to the power and togetherness and organization and fundraising ability and capability in every scope that People's Temple has. That's quite a compliment. And you think the fascists, you think the CIA, the conspirators, the lackeys, the running dogs of imperialism are going to stand by and not attack us? Of course they had to attack us. And they planned an attack in the United States and destroying us before we could get our second wind and regroup. And now they are up, I'm sure, Shit Creek, wondering what the hell we're doing out on these 27,000 acres. Said a little child will lead them. One child came up to me not many days ago when we were in the middle of a confrontation and said, one thing, Father, if we had to go back, we have sure got our shit together. And that's the goddamn truth. We came over to Guyana and we've enjoyed a long vacation. If it ended tomorrow, we got our shit together. Peace. But it's not ending tomorrow, child. There's acres of thousands of acres out there, 5,000 miles we can wander through the jungles to preserve our integrity and our family lifestyle. And by God, we'll fight to preserve it. The only way we'll go back to America if it's toppling or the nuclear dust has begun to settle. Unless there's hope for change, I ain't going back. Negative, negative. That's a negative copy, as they say. Anybody have any question tonight on any matter? I'm sure sometimes you may wonder about things. Ask any question you have on your mind. Remember, I took 120-some on the boat, our Jonestown Express, the Marcy, the Cudjo. Some of those kids, when they landed, I wondered how in the hell they kept out of jail as long as they had. I mean, I wondered how they did it. They were spitting each other's heads open when they landed in Georgetown. I'm sure that's true. Some of these kids had cut each other's heads open. They were fighting and shooting even. One child nearly killed another. Now out here we have peace. And these same children like Mike Jones, you wouldn't recognize Michael Jones. No, you wouldn't recognize him. He's such a changed young man. We salute that change, comrade. We're proud of you, comrade. That's rightly. Hold him up there. We're proud of it. Out making our sidewalks. And that's what Jonestown means. That's what communism means. Only Jonestown, Father, and communism can bring that change. If you don't remember him, I do, because I had to deal with him every 15 minutes. And I'm so proud of what he's doing now. Any questions?
I was reading an article in the Socialist Chinese magazine.
Yes. It's just like I said it would be. You sweat out the toxicities, even when you don't sweat. The heat draws out all the impurities of your body. It's the best place to live. Not only that it is our land, and there's no racist police coming in all the time, no white faces we have to look at with their goddamn countenances lit up with hate, no oppressor that we have to see paraded in front of the TV, don't have to listen to Ambassador Young be impeached and nobody wanting to do anything about it. Even the black sellout Uncle Tom's cooperating with it. Don't have to sit and wait for a nuclear bomb and no place to protect your children. Don't have to listen to the police state growing by leaps and bounds and the Ku Klux Klan marching and chapters formed in every goddamn county and now marching up and down the whole southern border of the United States, even supplied with money and equipment by the United States. because they're helping immigration service keep out aliens. It's a hell of a business to live in a country when you can't do anything and nobody wants to do anything. Even when you want to resist, nobody wants to resist with you. It's a mighty good feeling that there's not a goddamn condition here that can confront us that we haven't got at least an option. In America, you don't have any options. When starvation and economic loss comes like the dollars drop so sharply on the market today, when that happens in America, you don't have any options. When there is no food in San Francisco, you'll never see Steiner Street grow potatoes. You'll never see a fucking pig down Geary Avenue. Only a white pig in a black car. With a little badge on his son of a bitchin' chest that looks like a pig, all right. I know why they call them pigs. That's the only kind of pig I've missed. We got good pigs down the way. Little piglets under the dormitories when I'm making my morning inspection today. By God, you that miss the twilight, by the way, you're missing something. You ought to look up at the rainbow, but you ought to see the sunrise. Jesus Christ, this morning the sun, the scarlet colors and the blue and the purple all mixed. It was something out of a book of Wonderland. Last night's setting of the sun and this afternoon, the rainbow up in the sky. Jesus, the beauty all around us. We got beauty every day. We got each other every day. We don't have to walk down the sidewalk and meet no fucking Ku Klux Klan. There ain't no fucking Ku Klux Klan around. It's wonderful. Until that small time when the conspiracy tried to reach over here and destroy a great nation, even to get us. That's how important we were. Since that time, anybody comes up here, the head of the Ministry of Health today, to spray for mosquitoes, coming back Thursday to begin the spraying, going to take 4 days. Spray under our buildings and everywhere. We still have to go on and do our job, but he's going to spray in the buildings. Don't keep any food in that building when he comes your way, and anything, any printed pictures out. But he's going to do that, and that doesn't cost us anything. But they come in and eat of our bread and drink of our drinks, and you can feel an air of friendliness. Today, a Venezuelan Guyanese and Indian Guyanese, black Guyanese, all here, a spirit of friendliness. Never once was I ever visited by any official in the United States that represented any goddamn bureau that I ever felt he was friendly. I never met one of the fuckers I ever thought was friendly. If it was police, whoever. That one FBI man, he even with the warmth we put on, he was stiffer than a coal poker. You remember the old stove poker son of a bitch that stood up there and talked to us about being Christian and Bible readers and looked like he was about ready to shit or go blind just being around us. Even that, this is about as friendly as you're ever going to get in that system. But here we have options. They want to come with planes. We are like the Vietnamese. We could scatter and be in the jungle in no time, and their fucking napalm couldn't find us. And they won't be dropping any thermonuclear bombs down here because they're going to need too many to protect their own capitalist, imperialistic assholes up there. And no concentration camps that they can drag us off to because just give us 15 minutes and our ass is hid, and they'll have to hunt for 5,000 miles. Yeah, I'm talking. We got some old troopers here. Everybody says, where's your cemeteries? They can't get over it. Where's your cemetery? Haven't got a cemetery yet. Some of you are contrary. I know you waste food and you break rules and somebody will die sometime. And some of the most ill people here won't keep a rule. But nonetheless, up to this time, for several months we've settled in Jonestown in 3.5 years. The total community, nearly 4 years. Nobody dead. That's something to say. That's something to talk about. We have an option. No matter what they bring us, we have an option. We can give our children the promise of life, and we could not give them a promise of one goddamn day in the United States. Not one goddamn day. We didn't know what the hell was around any goddamn corner. Never had any chance. No way to get out with nature. There was no place to run to. Now you want to take a walk, and if you'll do it in groups, don't walk singularly because we have the place patrolled. If you want to go take a walk, you can go out to the falls. I did on Sunday. You can take a walk out through the most paradisical land you've ever seen. Charles Geary, with all of his wealth, his Porsche car and his diamond stick pins, said, I don't want to leave this place. It was like holy ground down here in Camp 1. He just wanted to breathe in the experience. And he's regretted ever since he went back to the United States. Said he wouldn't have gone if it hadn't been for being on television. He wouldn't have gone. And he was left with a promise. He had to get that promise that he would always have a place here. Wealthiest white man, most prestigious white man, brother, in the country, I suppose. But it hasn't satisfied. Lonely man trying to lift his eyelids. That's what he's done. He's had operation to have his eyelids lifted and his hair stretched. Poor old man, every time the rain rained, he had to spend an hour to get his hair fixed up. That's sad. And around here, give him another few more days, he'd have forgot about his hair. He wouldn't look all bad, bald at all. Here you don't have to worry about droopy eyelids, but there he had to go through painful operations. It's not funny to have your eyelids cut and lifted, and your face lifted and scraped away. That's America, 1977. How fortunate we are to have a place where nobody's looking at your eyelids. That's true. Nobody that's really socialist is looking at your eyelids. Any other question? Oh, and Venezuela and some of the Caribbeans making alliances with the Arabs, that suits me. I'd make an alliance with anybody as long as I can stay away from Yankees. Let them come. We'll bargain for a little of their oil. Jesus, you'd be shocked at some things I'm doing. I'd do anything to keep this family alive. Planning long trips in case some people want to come here and start shit. Honey, what your father's done, you should thank your lucky stars every day. Because someone would come here and say, well, what did they come for? Somebody that had a custody charge, try to kidnap them. Well, if they really want to take their life in the hand, let them come in here and try to kidnap somebody. Peace. And if they put pressure on the government like they did before and try to topple it, we got traveling plans. We got traveling plans. I don't mean for all of us. I mean just for a few of us. They come for somebody and they may be visiting us in Siberia that afternoon. They want to come with a court order and go over to Siberia and get them, and then when they leave, we can bring them back from Siberia. Shit. We got a lot of plans in motion. And if we don't feel like it, we won't use any plans. We'll just stand here and form a circle like the Indians. If it gets too heavy. What a blessing we have in this place. But, oh, just to look at you, just to look at the sweet faces and see the change, that's worth my coming over here. I don't know whether you looked around and appreciated the health of our seniors. I said only, except those that have just not been here long enough, only one with insulin problem. And all the people, diabetics, 40 or 50 of them cleared. My God. Between 40 and 50 diabetics cleared up, that's something to consider. And these youngsters that would have sure as hell been in trouble. They were on their way to jail. They were on their way to jail. I mean, some of the best young people in this place. They wouldn't have had these 3 months or 4 months they've been here. They were on their way to jail. I mean, some of them were doing same things in that town out of hostility to the system. They were all the things that were in the headlines some of our kids were involved with. You hear what I'm saying? Because they couldn't stand that oppression anymore. But it wouldn't have been long before the police would have been at our church doors and taken them away. For years and years. We ought to thank, we ought to kiss the ground. We ought to thank the principal bearer, our father, every day for this chance. Because if he'd been like any other human being, they'd have been thinking about their own comforts. They'd been thinking about their own conveniences. And you wouldn't have no food in the warehouses and money in the bank and boat that comes up and down the streams and all this land and all these supplies, because he would have been wasted it on himself to such a degree that you wouldn't be here at this point in time. Because there'd never been a leader, Marxist Leninist or anybody else, that's ever sacrificed like I have to see that you get what you need. I can tell you that. And your lack of enthusiasm on the subject does not bother me. But it does show your ignorance. It shows your ignorance. I see revolutionaries in the revolutionary movies smoke their cigars and some have their yachts and go in their special fine cars. If I had done that, you wouldn't be here today. That's the truth. I have a special problem in my stomach, which I need carbonation. And they had a few of these colas, those diet colas. And I drank them a while. They said, we're going to order more. I said, no. My stomach will have to find somebody else to carbonate itself. So I don't have one damn convenience. You hear what I'm saying? I didn't even eat the meat that I need to maintain my physical, basic physical health. So I've shown that I care. And some of you have shown it too. And we're going to stick together because there's nothing worth going back to. And there's nothing better. And we should be grateful every moment. And you sang like tonight, like some of you know it. And I hope you won't forget it. We were praised, and our workers, we are more proud of being a worker than anything else. That's why I said, and I appreciated the kitchen's quick cooperation when I announced today, I said, I want immediately to change the lines so the workers don't have to wait in lines. Form two lines and let them have their plates so they can come up and get what they want. Don't take more than you need. Take what you want, though. Then not be imposed on you more than you want. I said, it's not right that they have to wait 45 minutes in a line. I appreciated the cooperation. And I know the workers will make up for that. The true and conscientious workers will make up for more production. Give us more production so that we can feed our babies and our seniors and make it easier to get some from that horrible hell. And it's hell, honey. You talked to them on the radio. I tuned you in on the radio tonight just so you could know a little bit of the hell that goes on of just planning. And that was a mild radio broadcast. That was nothing. That was nothing. You ought to tune in and hear the hell every night. The first thing I got a hold of San Francisco, it was new intrigue and chicanery and deviousness that the so-called relatives of the Olivers were trying to pull. And Shonda's mother and a whole bunch of them, damn people. And you say your relatives are different. They're all a bunch of motherfuckers, and you know they are. They're all motherfuckers. Peace. They're all motherfuckers, I said. You don't want to clap, but I said they're all motherfuckers. Daddy fuckers. Please. Olivers were very nice. They sent their sons over here very proudly until some money come along. By God, for a few $100, they want to raise hell and get in the newspaper and get that filthy Mazur, that criminal with 75-page criminal history, and plan dirty work, work with the worst criminals that we have that have conspired against us. That's what their loving mom and dad did in a matter of just a few hours over a little money. You ain't worth a piece of change to your loved one, honey. That's all it is. If it costs them a piece of change, they ain't going to have nothing to do with you. And some of you never like to look at me when I say your relative is a daddy fucker and a motherfucker. Peace. All the same. Peace. So mine writes me very nice letters. Ask them for $100. Every one of you think you got a good relative tonight, write up there and say, I want $100 to help. We're adopting a child. I want $100 to help with that child. Oh, yes, you say you're starving. They'd like to look good, so you'd have to be eternally grateful. They have to say, oh, you helped me out of that place. You helped me out of that awful place over there and that with all that black and brown nation. Yeah, they'd give you $100 maybe to get home. They might give you an airplane ticket to get home, but I dare you to ask them for $100 for a little baby like Neil, our precious Neil here that we just adopted, that Joyce took in and CT adopted. Joyce and CT are in the process of adopting. I dare you to ask them for $100 for one of those precious little babies and see how sweet your motherfucking daddy fucking relative is. Yeah. Our beautiful David over there, and Philippe, and Gabriel. Ask for some money to get them some dental work, or some medical work, or some shoes, or clothes. You see how your goddamn relatives are. All your relatives. You shitheads that still don't want to believe that your relatives just like all the rest of us. Relatives ain't worth a shit. Trouble, that's what they are, trouble. Mother Edwards said tonight, I said, I'll be so glad her relatives cause nothing but trouble because they want her property. And so she got a little pittance and come over here. Maybe probably wasn't that much, but that's how it was worth too much for her. They did not want that money to get out of their hands. And one of her sisters going to sue this place for $1 million because her heart was bothering her over the money she didn't get from her sister. And she writes it right down on the letter. So she's just all upset over that money she didn't get. And she's having heart trouble. She's going to sue this church for putting her through all that. Hope the old bitch dies of cancer of the nose. Yes. Peace. So our whole planning now will be about just this type of thing, how to do it the best way, to rotate so that we are never without and utilizing every acre, every piece of ground. Even our yards can be utilized. We were talking last night, some of us, how we can utilize right up to the back of our cottages and around the cottages we can plant. And we should put everything into growing something that we can. Yes, Sister Blair. What is it? Why we're not growing? Took the husk off. That's all you got to take off. Take the husk off. And even found a process, or Jim Pugh found a process to get those off. So we boil the husk off. So we're going to start eating cutlets beans. Don't give me no shit about vomiting. It's on your head. Because they won't cause you to vomit. It was tasty bean. That we see, all we've been eating of the cutlets is the green. Because it's a superstition that you can't eat the bean itself. And the only reason you couldn't eat that is because of the husk around the bean. We just snapped that off. And by God, we found delicious bean, high in protein. That's what you have to do. We have to, some of us, be guinea pigs. And all the guinea pigs, again, feel good. Do you have any? Trap didn't even know what the fuck he was. He was a guinea pig, didn't know it. The professor ate a whole bowl. He didn't know what the shit he was into. I asked him 45 minutes. Oh, he did too, I told him. 45 minutes, he said, no, I haven't had any symptoms. Didn't you have any? I didn't even have any gas. Shit, you get gas every bean you eat in America. What's that? Pinto beans, he said they can grow? Yes. We have them, he said, we have them. That's good. Ask questions, show interest, yes.
It's,
what'd you just say?
Ability to realize how much tension I have to go through to be a leader. But my God, you're going to wave your fucking hand in my face and see that you piss when I'm struggling between being a father and a leader. God damn you, go piss.
Get up and go.
Go piss. It isn't easy for me to be a leader and a father. And I just would appreciate that you show sensitivity to the problem so that you can grow. But honest to Christ, and I agree, anybody can be lighthearted. That's the kind of lightheartedness that gets me, though, just in the middle of it. Somebody wave their hand at me. It could have been anyone. It wasn't more that young lady than anybody else. Okay, I've said what I think, and I think what I said.
Vincent, do you understand what Father's been saying about you and Stephen?
No, I didn't have a hard life.
Well, that's all right. Good. A lot of these, you know, we've had children here who've had to been dug out of the clutches of their dying mother or their dead mother, you know. We've had some real sad stories here. Oh, I think you've had a hard life to some degree. You had a bitch like Grace manipulating over you sexually to disturb you when you didn't know what the hell she was doing, and she didn't give a shit and walked out of your life, kicked you over here so she didn't want to be bothered with you because she had a new plaything. I think you got some things to be hostile about. But here you've had a lot of consideration. Friendship. Charlie and Joyce were subjective about you. They indulged you, man. They gave you every opportunity. Just like I was doing a moment ago. You have no reason to kick. You've given more. You had more attention here tonight than some people are going to get in their lifetime.
more patient concern to do the right thing by you. I hope to Christ you can show us that it's worthwhile. How repressed, how resentful some people must feel in this room who internalize their hurts and pains and have to be quiet. What if every night we took up this much goddamn time with every person? There wouldn't be any movement. Their kids have gotten good on their own here. They've gotten good on their own with no conversation. And we ought to think about that. We'd make a big zero. We'd be better people. I've had kids here that are doing magnificent things and they haven't said a goddamn word to me, nor I them, hardly, other than, hello, hello, Father. Whew. When I get the feeling of inequality, it overwhelms me till I feel like I can't handle it. And so I don't want to get on that subject. I get resentful. Some take too much time. It's time for you to grow up, young man. You're very bright. It's time for you to grow up.
Yes, Father.
Okay, what is the ruling? Own kin, special foods. We flaunted, and the people have come over here and left everybody. I walked by, I thought, I don't know, I walked in one of the inspections of one of the houses today. I forgot who, but I thought Nancy Clay, she walked off and left every motherfucking one of them. There she'd been out doing her duty, walked off, left children, arrogant, all of them. And some of us don't appreciate that, the fact that some people had to walk off, they cared enough for principle, and they work every day, and they left every child, every grandchild, everybody they had. They said, in so many words, fuck it. Are you, when you're doing that, are you wanting to go to the bathroom? I don't know. Okay. If we look at ourselves, we'll change.
This weight committee has been set up by...
Fucking her over in her school. And then you tell her you don't do that. This child give her difficulty in her school. You tell me that somebody give you difficulty, you don't care a little bit less about what they get than somebody else been nice to you. Don't give me none of that shit. And some of the sister over there, one of the worst damn shitheads in this place, were just nodding, looking right at fellas. Never look at yourself, though, do you, sister? Because you just come up and complained today someplace. I don't know what the hell it was over. A flagrant kind of discrimination, though. But you could see her error, but I never hear you talk much about yours. Go ahead now. Go ahead. I've said my spiel. And I think that's what turned the enemy. I don't give a shit if they... I don't think it made a goddamn bit of difference. We were communist or fascist or nationalist or Martian.